From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
As a mother of two children, as a wife of a combat veteran, I am unbelievably proud of how President Trump has looked at the information, analyzed, not let anyone rush him into this, because he has said from the beginning, we have to know what we're right. We have to know all the information. We have to know that there's proof. And we have to know that we're taking every precaution necessary should we take action.
Well, that's U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley to the of the United Nations making those comments. Very interesting. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Tony is out today, and next week, big exciting shows coming all the way from Israel. Should be pretty exciting stuff. Well, it's like an early Christmas in Washington, D.C. today. So much to unpack and unwrap today. The DOJ's issued a McCabe report. President Trump is looking at his options in regards to the recent chemical attack in Syria, and who will be the next Speaker of the House. Congressman Steve Russell of Oklahoma will be here with his insights. And former FBI Director James Comey's forthcoming book, A Higher Loyalty, Truth, Lies, and Leadership, won't be published until next Tuesday, but it's already the buzz in Washington, D.C. today. Kayleigh McEnany, a Republican National Committee spokesperson, will be here with reaction to that. And big news out of South Carolina General Assembly. It's the first state, this is great news, folks. It's the first state to pass legislation that will help tackle the rising anti-Semitism plaguing U.S. college campuses. The author of the bill, South Carolina State Representative Alan Clemens, will be here with the latest on that. And of course, we'll take your calls. Now, I also want to direct you to TonyPerkins.com. If you recall, we discussed yesterday, Tony did, Senator Cory Booker's interrogation of Mike Pompeo. That exchange yesterday almost sounded a little bit like Bernie Sanders' religious test. Not too good on the part of Senator Booker. You need to go to TonyPerkins.com. We've got a petition there to take a look at. Tell the Senate to say no to Senator Booker's religious test. Go to TonyPerkins.com. Take a look at that. Sign it and get behind that. We ask you to do that. You are always real good about getting behind these projects, and this will indeed send a message. Well, yesterday, President Donald Trump put off a final decision on possible military strikes against Syria after tweeting earlier that they could happen, quote, very soon or not so soon at all. The White House said he would consult further with allies. The United Nations Security Council is holding emergency meetings as world powers discuss the crisis in Syria. President Trump is weighing his options there. Well, with us now is Congressman Steve Russell. He represents the 5th Congressional District of Oklahoma, serves on the House Committee on Government Oversight and Reform, and the House Armed Services Committee. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, thanks, Russ. It's great to be with you.
So are you back in the district?
No, I'm not. It's a short weekend, and a lot of times with the extended travel, getting home at 1 in the morning on Saturday, yes, it's just not worth it to have to turn around the next day and go back.
Well, what's the mood in Washington concerning Syria?
It is the topic, and there are a lot of concerns about it. But I think the concern is not unlike what we see in the rest of the country and even the world. These are barbaric acts. You had every nation on the planet, sign outlawing the use of chemical weapons. 100 years ago, we learned that lesson. We've not seen them employed, by any power as national policy since. We've seen rogue states on occasion do employment of them. And so here you have a case where clearly Assad has control over these weapons. He knows where they are. He knows where they're stored. He knows, and he is in violation of that. And so I think the real question becomes, what is civilized humanity going to do to counter these barbaric acts?
Now, Congressman Russell, part of the conversation today is that Russian President Putin said the attack was staged. First, is there proof of that, and is there proof it happened? That's what we're hearing conversations about today.
Well, okay, fine, Mr. Putin, show us the evidence. But a typical, page of the Communist playbook, admit nothing, deny everything, make counter accusations. We would not make the stated statements and policies or do the intel sharing or do the other things with our partners in the region or with our allies if we were not pretty certain of our intelligence. So the question really becomes, on our part as far as response, is that how do we reduce the capacity? How do we do it where we get at the perpetrators? How do we do it where we can ensure destruction of the munitions or the facilities that might aid that or aid their deployment, and then do that with the least amount of collateral damage? These are the types of things, I'm sure, that is occupying everybody's discussions.
And you serve on the House Armed Services Committee. We're hearing that the U.S. Navy destroyer is in the waters near Syria shortly after Donald Trump promised to make a major decision on Monday. So I guess we're at least in position. Is that correct?
Well, we always have a fleet presence in the region, and certainly with our ongoing operations in Syria, we do that for a variety of reasons. One, we protect our interest and we protect our commerce. That would happen whether anything was going on in Syria or not. But two, it's also important that as we rotate ships and other things into the region, that we have a strike capacity and a replenishment of precision munitions and the like.
So I understand there's a deputy level meeting today that's taking place, and I'm sure they're weighing the options. And I don't know if you heard Ambassador Haley's comments, but she's been a strong leader in that post.
Well, she certainly has. And in fact, I even mentioned to Ambassador Haley that I loved how she was kind of invoking the spirit of Jean Kirkpatrick, a former Oklahoman, with her tenacity during the Reagan era. And she's doing a fantastic job.
And a lot of folks don't realize it, but Syria is, really important in the Middle East region there, with Israel there in play, and it's a key player, isn't it?
Well, Syria will always be important for several reasons, due to geography. The position of it, it becomes the natural flow of humanity on both the Euphrates River and also on the highways, in the Fertile Crescent. I mean, this goes all the way back to the earliest times of humanity. And so Syria will always be important geographically. But we shouldn't think that somehow we're isolated in outcome of effort. Not only do we see great cooperation with the King Abdullah in Jordan, but we also see a desire on the kingdoms and others. They do not want to see an ascendant Persian influence with Iran in Syria. Israel obviously is very concerned about this, and we see the Border Protection Service that has been established at the end of last year as stated United States policy. We see a lot of countries in the region that are aiding this border service so that we don't have a super highway that runs from Tehran all the way to Damascus. This is a problem. And there are a lot of vested, interested partners. Turkey is being a real thorn in the backside with a lot of the things that they're doing currently, and they're doing it with the welcome of Russia as a destabilizing factor to a lot of the efforts. But on the plus side, ISIS has been diminished. We have seen that they no longer hold territory, nor are they any type of existential threat of any kind. This is something that is very, very good. That's why the president had stated, look, maybe we want to now look at the use of force. We went in there to defeat terror. This has been accomplished, and now we need to look at the strategic objectives. The chemical strike will cause a delay on that. But Russia and Turkey and Iran, they are not traditionally friends. And so if they are isolated, and everyone will be in a difficult position not to back some type of response on the chemical strike, because who wants to be on the side of, oh, no, we think you should use chemical weapons? That's a very lonely place to be in the world.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I am Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins, and we're talking with Congressman Steve Russell of Oklahoma, and he serves on the House Armed Services Committee and the Government Oversight and Reform Committee, talking about Syria and the implications there and the heavy decisions that President Trump is taking a look at, and he certainly is surrounded by good leaders, isn't he, Congressman? And also Ambassador Bolton, don't you think he's chiming in now?
Well, certainly. And I would say about the president on his security team is that he's had very competent people replaced by very competent people. So in terms of him getting fantastic advice, you know, personal preference of the president, he deserves that as commander-in-chief and as president of the United States to pick his own team. But in terms of the advice and counsel that he's getting, it's been strong since the earliest days of his presidency.
And we're also seeing that, you know, Russian lawmakers have warned the United States that Moscow would view an airstrike on Syria as a war crime and that it could trigger a direct U.S.-Russian military crash, a clash there. What are your thoughts on that?
The war crimes have already been committed, and so the response will be, how do we ensure that they don't happen again? And, you know, Russ, we had sent a warning before as a deterrent to strike the airfield where the jets that had taken off and did the last chemical attack to try to reduce that. And we sent a strike as a deterrent saying, hey, look, you know, here's a problem. And it had a, you know, a year and a half effect or 15 or whatever it is. It had had an impact about a year. But now we see that obviously that wasn't enough. And so it's not just the United States looking at this, but I think the rest of the world is saying, yeah, okay, he's obviously not going to change his mood or behavior. So this needs to be something that we deal with. And the long-term objectives, I mean, 2 weeks prior to this chemical attack, President Trump was saying, you know, he's relooking now that terrorism has been defeated with ISIS in Syria at reducing the role there. So if we were looking for a reason to escalate or stay, it seems kind of disingenuous, you know, to be making those types of statements and then looking for some excuse. I mean, that just doesn't add up. And that's why Russia, again, you know, making counter accusations, trying to posture, trying to do the different things. We understand that. It's Russia. But at the same time, again, they are defending very, 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 very bad behavior.
And what about Congress chiming in and getting involved in debating those actions? We're hearing folks chatter about that today.
Well, we certainly have been discussing all of these issues in classified hearings, and we've also been looking at, you know, what are the array of things, and then how we involve partners and allies. You know, how do we support the executive in this? And I have to say, Russ, that this has not been a partisan discussion. It's been very thoughtful. It's been very concerning. But it's not been partisan. It truly has been focused on, in my colleagues on both sides of the aisle, as we've looked at this issue, it's been something of, okay, you know, how do we have the most thoughtful and the most capable response? Not the quickest response or, you know, whatever. It's not, but it's got to be the most capable response where it will actually do something. And I think that all of us are united, from what I can tell, that we think that that should be done.
Well, Congressman, we're out of time real quick in about 15 seconds. Speaker Ryan's replacement, how's that looking?
I think what you'll see now is Ryan will be there. Paul will stay until January, and our team will be focused. Our leadership team with McCarthy and Scalise, they're going to stay focused on the November election and on finishing policy the rest of the year.
Congressman Steve Russell of Oklahoma, it's always great to talk with you.
Thank you so much. It.
All right. Well, coming up next, former FBI Director James Comey blasts President Donald Trump in his new book. Republican National Committee spokesperson will be here with reaction when we return. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. Hello, this is Tony Perkins from Washington Watch. You know, in all my years here at the Family Research Council, one of the things that encourages me the most about you, our listeners, is your willingness to help advance the things that matter most, faith, family, and freedom. Your support is enabling FRC to play a major role in the current administration's actions to protect religious freedom, as well as rolling back threats to pastors' free speech rights, just to name a few. But your help is needed for the work ahead as we seek to protect religious freedom in the military and finally defund Planned Parenthood. Please stand with FRC right at this moment. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or make a gift by calling 1-800-225-4008. Again, our number 800-225-4008 or go to TonyPerkins.com. God bless you and may God bless the United States of America.
Hi there. Let's play a word association game. Are you ready? When I say Washington, D.C., what's the first thing you think of? If you're like many Americans, a word like corruption might top the list, but Christian might be the last thing you'd associate with Washington, D.C. Well, the truth is that Christians have voice in our nation's capital. For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been working daily to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. When the Christian worldview is being pushed out of the public, FRC is there to stand firm on a biblical vision for America. Will you stand with us? To learn more about Family Research Council and to find out how you can stand with us in defense of faith, family, and freedom, please visit FRC.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news and ways you can take action. Again, that's FRC.org. Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. In an exclusive FRC Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson and Colin Hanna explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, husband, and father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass.
Where is our country headed? Are we moving in the right direction? Mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. and join hundreds of Americans that want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, House Speaker Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Kellyanne Conway, Secretary Ben Carson, and Sean Hannity. Don't miss the early bird price of $99 at valuesvotersummit.org.
Well, it's Friday. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Tony is the president of the Family Research Council, and this very program is Washington Watch, powered by FRC. It's always good to be with you here today. Well, excerpts of James Comey's new book have been released. The book adheres closely, I guess, to Comey's public testimony and written statements about his contacts with President Trump and his growing concern about Trump's integrity. This whole thing is just a little much for me to stomach, but it also includes strikingly personal jabs at President Trump. With us now is Kayleigh McEnany, Republican National Committee spokesperson. Kayleigh, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, it's always good to have you. And, you know, as I said in the top of the show, it's like early Christmas here, I guess. All this stuff going on in Washington, D.C., and you just never know. And, you know, is this the gag gift?
Yeah, you know, there's so many striking revelations that come out of the Comey book, the first of which I think is with regard to Loretta Lynch. You know, he raises more questions about the former Obama-era attorney general than he does of President Trump. And in fact, he says of his interactions with President Trump that none of them approached illegality. There was no obstruction of justice, in other words. But Loretta Lynch, there is apparently classified information that really calls into question her impartiality with regard to the Clinton investigation. So kind of a bombshell revelation there that I don't think most of us were expecting.
Well, and another one, and I want to play this clip here. It's an interview, a first interview since being fired as FBI director on Good Morning America with George Stephanopoulos. And he's talking about some interesting things in regards to the dossier. Let's listen.
If this was salacious and this particular part of the dossier unverified, still unverified, by the way?
Yes. So far as when I got fired, it was unverified.
Did you tell him that the Steele dossier had been financed by his political opponents?
No. I didn't even think I used the term Steele dossier. I just talked about additional material.
Did he have a right to know that?
That it had been financed by his political opponents? I don't know the answer to that. It wasn't necessary for my goal, which was to alert him that we had this information.
Oh, my gosh. This stuff's going to drive me crazy, Kayleigh. I don't know if he had the right to know this was financed by the opposition. Really?
It's unbelievable. I mean, this is Russia misinformation. Imagine if someone approached you with heinous allegations you know are untrue, and they don't even reveal that it was funded by your opponent, your political opponent. I mean, it is striking. And not only that, you know, Comey oversaw the FBI when they were seeking the FISA warrant to spy on someone within the Trump campaign. And they also didn't reveal that to the court. They had a little footnote that indicated someone in the political realm might have funded it, but not who it was. It was buried in a footnote. So, you know, he's calling it salacious and unverified while seeking a FISA warrant and presenting it to the President of the United States. I mean, the level of just inane action here is really striking.
And you know, all of this is going on, and there's really serious things going on in the world. We've got Syria, jobless claims at the lowest level in 44 years, but the mainstream media is going to be pushing this today, tomorrow, Sunday, probably all into next week.
Of course they are, but the American people, they're wise, they're smart. They saw through the efforts to malign the president in the 2016 election, and they'll see through it now. I mean, we've had nearly a two-year investigation into Russia, going back to the FBI one that was opened in July of 2016, and yet no collusion. And now we know from Comey's book, no obstruction. So what's next? They just have to dig deeper and deeper and contrive these very bizarre conspiracy theories to try to derail the agenda, because they know it's working. They know the American people are seeing it. They're feeling it. It's in their paychecks. It's at their jobs. It's in their increasing wages. And you know, there's nothing they can do to defeat that, which is why they have to go negative.
And you know, I've been in this industry 30 years. I've had a very blessed career, and I've had the unfortunate task of letting people go. That's never easy. And I've been through this before, and this really sounds simply like a disgruntled former employee to me.
It is. And you can tell, you know, he's someone who has angered the Democrats when it was convenient for him, angered the Republicans when it was convenient for him, which tells you there's one person in Comey's life that matters, and it's Comey. And his priorities, his agenda comes first. And it's unfortunate. It's why the Democrats and Chuck Schumer was saying that he's lost faith in Comey, and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid are calling for him to step down, or they were at least in the aftermath of the election. But, you know, now it's Republicans doing the same, and it just speaks to, I think, who this person is and what he's about, and you know, his higher loyalty is really himself.
And I understand that there's nothing in this book that adds to the Mueller investigation. Is that what you understand?
Yes, if anything, it defeats it, because remember, the Mueller investigation went from one based on collusion to then one based on obstruction. Now we know Comey, that the basis of the obstruction charge was that President Trump told Comey to go easy on Flynn. And here you have Comey saying, well, that wasn't illegal, and it didn't rise to that level. So that theory's demolished. So it does affect the Mueller investigation in that way. It helps the president in clearing his name. But the Mueller investigation, just, again, an investigation in seek of a crime, it just seems like at this point.
And I found it striking, the George Stephanopoulos interview. The things that he was talking, I mean, this is a family show, so I can't even get into the things that they were talking about. But, you know, the president, highest office of our land, to hear those kind of topics talked about, you know.
Right, and talking about the president's physical appearance and whether he tans and how long his tie is. And whether his desk is situated the right way. I mean, these are just very, very strange details for Comey to want to include in his book. And it kind of undermines the seriousness of what he's trying to say.
And do you have hope that this will pass and just kind of the water cooler topic of the day?
It is the water cooler topic of the day. I mean, we saw with the Michael Wolff Fire and Fury book, it was, you know, flying off the bookshelves, everyone talking about it, and then it goes away. But I think it doesn't change that the American people are left with this feeling that we elected this person to office, and from before he even set foot into the White House, there was this effort to derail him. So I think that they see that, and this will add to that feeling of the media really trying to undermine their choice for the presidency.
Kaylee, we're out of time. Thank you so much. Thanks for being with us on Washington Watch.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Kaylee McEnany, Republican National Committee spokesperson. Folks, you know, are you tired of this yet? I know a lot of folks are. ready just to talk about the business of our land. Well, coming up next, South Carolina's leading the way confronting liberal bias on college campuses in regards to Israel. When we return, we'll talk with South Carolina's State Representative Alan Clemens. He's up next. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most, faith, family, and freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008 or at TonyPerkins.com.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. In an exclusive FRC Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson and Colin Hanna explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, husband, and father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass. Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. This is because transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. Yet even the federal government has stated that there is no evidence that gender reassignment surgery has improved health outcomes. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones. Excuse me. Took a drink of water, went down the wrong way. Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. It's a pleasure to be with you here today. It's a really great news story here. The South Carolina General Assembly has passed legislation that will help tackle the rising anti-Semitism plaguing U.S. college campuses. The successful passage makes it the first state to pass such pro-Israel legislation. Joining us now is the author of the bill, South Carolina State Representative Alan Clemens. He is the chairman of the House Rules Committee. Representative, welcome to Washington Watch.
Russ, I'm honored to be with you today.
Well, it's an honor to have you, and I was so excited. You know, we're pro-Israel people, so excited to read about this. Have not seen a state taking this kind of action before. You first started working on this bill about 2 years ago. What kind of support and what kind of opposition did you run into?
Well, it's interesting, Russ. I had a great deal of support for this bill, both in the House and in the Senate. Unfortunately, we ran into a roadblock with a very powerful South Carolina senator who decided that he was going to be the champion of anti-Israel activists on campus, and very deftly used the rules to stop our bill from progressing in the Senate after it had received overwhelming support in the House. It was nearly unanimously adopted. We had three no's in the House, and proceeded very quickly through the committee process in the Senate and was stopped on second reading by this senator, Senator Brad Hutto. We were able to get around him by use of the rules and placing the language of our bill in our omnibus spending package. And it passed overwhelmingly over Senator Hutto's objections yesterday.
Well, and I see that the Senate voted 37-4 and the House passed your bill with a vote of 116-2 in March.
Yes, that's correct.
That's impressive.
Well, thank you. South Carolina is a special state, and anti-Semitism and the forces that have led to its resurgence are not representative of the values of South Carolina. And that's why you see such overwhelming support. I'm like you, Russ. I'm a Christian who has a great deal of admiration and supports the Israel, the people and Israel, the nation. And that's reflective of South Carolina values, and I think reflective of the majority of America's values.
Well, and matter of fact, here at the Family Research Council, we have a team of people that research these topics and write. They advise members of Congress and do research. And this is what we know. The Southern Poverty Law Center has ignored the greatest modern on-campus threat to a specific minority group's right and safety. That's the American Jew. And
absolutely.
And this, and the threat is a natural consequence of the boycott, divestment, sanctions, as you know, BDS movement, which targets the state of Israel regarding its ongoing conflict with the Palestinian Arabs in that land that we call Judea and Samaria.
You're absolutely right. And the boycott, divestment movement, as they call it, I call it a hate movement. Because it is just that. It is a hateful movement. Prime Minister Netanyahu has called that movement financial terrorism of the state of Israel, and I tend to believe it's likewise. That's why South Carolina led also on pushing back on BDS. I'm pleased to have been the author of that bill as well. We now have laws on the books in 25 American states.
Wow.
That wherein those states are saying, you want to do business with this state, you cannot participate in the BDS movement.
So what you're doing there in South Carolina is obviously getting noticed by other lawmakers in other states. Have they been calling on you, getting some counsel?
Well, I'm fortunate to have a wide network of legislator friends across the country who, like myself, are Israel-supporting legislators. Again, Israel, the nation, as well as Israel, the people. And through that network, we've been able to make great strides in against the BDS movement. And I'm hopeful that we'll be able to do likewise, pushing back on campus anti-Semitism, as we have in South Carolina with this bill.
And apparently the bill's careful to protect students' First Amendment rights. The bill language states nothing in this proviso may be construed to diminish or infringe upon any right protected under the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. And that's good news. State Representative, can you hold on just a minute? We're facing a hard break. Can you hold on and we'll talk about this a little more? Well, I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. We're talking with South Carolina State Representative Alan Clemons. He's going to hang on. We're going to talk about this when we return.
Somewhere out there right now, a teacher is using a new technique, not to teach some new math method, but to control the emotions of children in the classroom. Sounds like a conspiracy theory, doesn't it? It's not.
Social-emotional learning, known as SEL, is a new catchphrase that now dominates public education policy. However, hidden behind the SEL claim of building kids' self-confidence is a statist agenda of social engineering that insists on total conformity of thought. It disregards the genuine individuality of students and their family relationships and requires monitoring and tracking of their emotions. Don't miss FRC's new speaker series event featuring Stella Morabito, in which she discusses how SEL is programming our children by enforcing conformity, invading privacy, and undermining the influence of family and faith in a child's life. Learn more at frc.org/SEL. Again, that's frc.org/SEL.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. The month of February marked the bicentennial of Frederick Douglass's birth, so it is a fitting time to reflect on the legacy of this great author, scholar, humanitarian, and entrepreneur who served five United States presidents. In an exclusive Family Research Council speaker series event, Reverend Dean Nelson, chairman of the board for the Frederick Douglass Foundation, and Colin Hanna, president of Let Freedom Ring, explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, a husband, and a father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass. Again, that is frc.org/Douglass.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most, faith, family, freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008 or at TonyPerkins.com.
Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news.
You've tuned in to Washington Watch. Thanks for tagging along with us here today, having a very good conversation with South Carolina State Representative Alan Clemons about the bill that they have passed there in that state that confronts the rising anti-Semitism in college campuses. Thanks for holding on and coming back with us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Russ.
Quick question here. The Brandeis University study found in 2015 that the number of Jewish students experiencing anti-Semitism spiked by nearly 75%, which is big. My question is, how do you enforce this legislation, a bill, this law? How do you track it?
We enforce it through the purse strings of the state, so that every state-supported college and university in South Carolina must adhere to the definition of anti-Semitism, which, by the way, is the gold standard definition of anti-Semitism, which is utilized by the United States State Department and has been adopted by 32 other countries. That definition would have to be turned to in cases of discrimination against Jewish students to determine whether there was an anti-Semitic intent. And if there was, then to deal with that situation as they would any other act of discrimination, thereby no longer being allowed to sweep such activity as Jew hate under the administrative carpet of the institution. If they fail to do so, then they put their funding for that college or university at risk.
Hmm. They're not going to like that.
No, they certainly will not.
Have you heard from some universities?
You know, I have. The universities I've heard from in South Carolina, the presidents of those universities that have reached out to me, have been very grateful for this definition, because as they point out to me, they have no definition upon which they can rely when acts such as these occur on campus. So I think it's going to be received generally very well. I suspect there may be one or two campuses, administrations that will not appreciate the requirement that they treat Jew hate as they do any other act of discrimination. But it will be a requirement. If they fail to do so, they chance losing their state funding.
Well, thank you for being a champion on this issue, and thank you for taking time to be with us here today. It's a really important topic, and just bravo there, and thank you for your works on this issue.
Well, Russ, thank you so much. And if I could just say, if there are any state legislators out there that are interested in knowing more and helping in this effort for it to move across the country, you can reach out to me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @RepAlanClemens. I'd love to hear from you.
All right. Thank you so much, and you have a blessed weekend. We appreciate your time.
And you, Russ. Thanks for all you do. Take care.
All right. Thank you. That was South Carolina State Representative Alan Clemens. You know, folks, this is such an important issue and topic, and to know that this bill there in South Carolina, the House approved it 116-2. That's pretty good. That's really good. And the Senate, 37-4. So you can go to TonyPerkins.com, and we'll have this information for you on the web. In fact, you can follow Tony on Twitter as well, @TPerkins. And you can follow me @RJonesReports on Twitter. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. One of the things I mentioned at the top of the show, and we I want to go to the phone lines today, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. But you know that exchange in Mike Pompeo's testimony yesterday between him and Senator Cory Booker, that wasn't too good. Very close to a religious test. We'd like you to go sign a petition at TonyPerkins.com. Sign the petition. Let's send a message that's not cool. That's just not right. A religious test of that sort reminds us a little bit of Senator Bernie Sanders, that sort of questioning with one of the Catholics that was in a hearing there. Can't remember quite all the details, but let's send a message to Senator Cory Booker and others that want to go down that road. Let's go to the phone lines, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. And it's Friday. Looking forward to a little time of rest. Have to go see a very sick relative. That's always hard. How do you handle that, you know, when Hodges is involved in those last days? And, you know, isn't our, you know, we all live such a long life, hopefully, if the Lord has blessed us with that, and then these days come, and you know, it just can be so difficult. But God has called us to stand with our widows and our orphans and those who are sick, and it's an opportunity to take advantage of that time. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with the sickness of a loved one? Would love to hear from you. 866-372-7234. Open phone lines. So what are your thoughts about the Comey book? What are your thoughts about a new Speaker of the House? This bill in South Carolina that goes after anti-Semitism, that's very important. We see so much of that. As we were talking about, the bill that passed there was H-3583. Would love to hear from you today. It's Friday. We've got a few minutes just to kind of talk and discuss. And, you know, I always am so honored to be with you. I never take it this for granted, this platform to be with you, to discuss the issues important to you and to our land. And it's always also finals day. You know, I teach a journalism class online at Liberty University, and oh my gosh, I've got papers that are due. There's so much to do. But I will encourage you, this generation, they're all not millennials that are just kind of clueless. There are a generation of young folks that truly do want to follow the Lord. They want to do what's right. They want to know how they can impact the culture and what their giftings are. And I just finished my first 8-week course teaching media and culture online at Liberty University. And it's just been an amazing experience to engage with these students. And I can tell you firsthand that university finds a way to embed the gospel and the curriculum in a way like I have never seen before. Really pushing in on students to find a way to verbalize their faith in the context of what they're learning. Let's go to Patty in Beaver Dam, Virginia. Hi, Patty. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am good. I'm very good. Good to have you here today.
Thank you. My question is if the anti-Semitism bill was so overwhelmingly supported, why would that one senator have any say-so as to why it passed? And why did it have to be added to the omnibus bill to pass?
Well, that's a really good question, and I bet you Tony could answer that question, and I know the state representative could, but I guess he had enough power to and knows the ways of the ropes to keep it from going to a vote, I would guess, but the good news is South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster, it's on his desk, he's endorsed the measure and is committed to sign it into law. So, but that, wouldn't you agree, that's pretty overwhelming support, isn't it?
Yes, yes, sir.
Yeah. I wish I could answer your question. I don't know the enough details of the dynamics of the political environment there in South Carolina and this particular movement, and this particular bill. But I would imagine those that are politically savvy know how to exploit the system and to delay votes.
Yes, sir.
As we see it in Washington, D.C. Thank you for calling. Appreciate you calling. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. Give us a call. Would love to hear from you today. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Joe in Delaware. Hi, Joe.
Applaud the Christian conservatives in South Carolina for taking a stand with Israel. Also like to applaud the Christian conservatives in Nebraska that defunded Planned Parenthood earlier this week, kind of got buried in the news cycle this week. I'd like to applaud both those states and those Christian conservatives. As far as Comey's book, I wouldn't waste a penny on it or any time, even dignifying it. It's a tag piece from the liberal left, just like the previous books have been and the previous newspapers have been. So I think you just got to stand firm and, support the Christian conservative states and support our Christian conservative leaders. And thanks for all you do there to support the Christian conservative movement.
Well, appreciate you calling, Joe. You know, we talk about what's going on in D.C. all the time, but what's going on the state level is equally as important. You know, they say politics is local.
Yes. Actually, if I could add one more thing, I know you're short on time. I'd like to encourage the Christian conservatives to support the conservative candidates directly. Do not send your money to Washington, the Republican establishment swamp. Send your money directly to the conservative candidates. Marsha Blackburn in Tennessee. We should be able to get a conservative to replace Joe Manchin in West Virginia. Send the money directly to him. Renacci in Ohio is trying to take out one of the most liberal senators in the nation, and Sherrod Brown. And then we can win Indiana also. So
all right, Joe.
Conservative Joe, candidates.
We got lots of folks hanging on there. Joe had a lot to say. Let's go to Hunter in Lone Star, Texas. Hi, Hunter.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I think in regards to what Cory Booker did, of course he was emboldened because, like you said before, Bernie Sanders did it. But we can sign all the petitions we want, and I don't want to discourage people from doing that because I want to do that myself. But I really think what it's going to take is when one of these nominees is in front of one of these politicians, and I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat or independent, and they ask highly inappropriate questions like the way Cory Booker did, and we all know he's doing it to politically grandstand. I think even, Tony would agree with that, but what it's going to take is that person who's sitting in that hot seat not yelling back, not being ugly. I would say almost in Ted Cruz type fashion, very just matter-of-factly and respectfully, and say, Senator or Congressman, that's a very inappropriate question for you to ask, and I take offense to it. And maybe if people saw that on television, I think it would have more impact.
Yeah, but would CNNs of the world play it? And you know, one of the things, Mike Pompeo, he's a very smart man. I know him personally from my years in Kansas. And he handled himself so very well, and he was not going to get that gotcha moment where they captured that soundbite that all the networks would roll with. So that could be part of how he was thinking about that.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, and it's not about, you know, trying to, you know, fight back for the sake of, you know, just creating strife, but it's about returning the level of, you know, our forefathers did not have this kind of political discourse. They may have disagreed vehemently with one another. Patrick Henry was one of the most famous ones, but they didn't sit there and start to impugn each other's integrity, even with those that they disagreed with. They had gentlemanly, and we should have gentlewomanly, conversations, and that's what's missing from Capitol Hill right now in large buckets.
Well, Hunter, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate your support and listening to Washington Watch. Appreciate you being here today. Let's go to Hugh in Beaufort, North Carolina. Hi, Hugh. Beaufort,
hey,
North Carolina.
How you doing?
I'm good.
I'm a Christian, and I am a conservative, and I would encourage listeners and fellow conservatives that we do not have a conservative in office right now. We're doing away with the Bill of Rights. We're doing away with discussion that is honorable and it respects our Constitution. And I am an anti-Trump conservative. I think I'm a real conservative. I love Jesus. I love the Lord. And I do not think what we are doing. I think a lot of us have made big mistakes. And I really just want to expand the conversation so that instead of all of us saying all the FBI, we're trying to destroy our checks and balances that are have been in our system for 250 years, and well, it's gonna harm us all. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say. I know it doesn't meet the I wanted to say it in a nice way. I know it doesn't meet the probably the criteria that you normally get on this radio show, but I do enjoy listening to you.
All right, Hugh. Well, thanks for calling. And you know what? There's a lot of folks that support President Trump that are Bible believing Christians as well. And this I know. And you know, we stand with President Trump when he gets it right, and we call things out when he doesn't get it right. And I think that's the right way to approach it. Let's go to William real quick in Texas. Got about 20 seconds, William.
Well, I just, Russ, thanks for the call, taking the call. I just want to make sure people understand that just if you don't support the government of Israel, that does not make you anti-Semitic.
Okay, well, that's an interesting point and one to take under consideration. I wish we had more time to get into that because I've got some thoughts about that, William, but we're out of time, unfortunately. And it's been a pleasure to be with you here today again. And I leave you with this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. That's from Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. I'm Russ Jones, been sitting in for Tony Perkins. You've been listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. Indeed, it's been wonderful to be with you. And Lord willing, and the waters don't rise, we'll see you on Monday.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234. 866-372-7234.